G'day, Mark Howard here. A year ago, I started the Howie Games podcast, which has given me a fantastic opportunity to chat with some of the biggest names in world sport. The Howie Games aims to bring you stories you haven't heard before, like this one from Melbourne Cup winning jockey, Jim the Pumper Cassidy.
I got the grey nurses, the $100 bills,
the big hundreds.
Changed into 20s,
so
and my mate said, what are you doing that for? I said, I'll show you. So we got back to the hotel room. Pump took all his gear off, got the Melbourne Cup whip, tipped all the money on the bed, and for 1 hour I was literally just rolling in cash.
You can listen to the Howie Games at podcastone.com.au or via the Podcast One app.
Get Ruin Dits for Breakfast, weekdays from 6, or subscribe to Ruin Dits for Breakfast catch-up at triplem.com.au.
Oh, we've made it through to Wednesday. How are you, Roo?
Very good, Dits, very good. Yeah, up and about. Looking forward to another Wednesday.
Hey, chaotic scenes at court yesterday. We'll try and find out later on this morning just exactly what happened with these youths that were involved in the death of Lucy Paveley on the weekend. All a bit confusing for me. They were released and then rearrested 1 second later.
Yeah, exactly right. And we need to find out a bit more about that because there's a lot of people unhappy about the whole situation. But we've got a big show today with that. We've got Big Mal coming on.
Yes.
We've got Hamish Hartlett coming in. Port Adelaide will be gearing up for a finals campaign.
Yep.
Hamish is in better form.
He is playing
all
well,
things
yeah.
are looking good for both sides at the moment. Could be an interesting few weeks coming up.
All right, massive morning coming up here to Ruin Dits on Triple M.
Ruin Dits for Breakfast, 104.7 Triple M.
What is making news around the place, Roo? First up, we spoke about this a while ago. It was mooted that the government was thinking of introducing this test or drug testing for the dole.
Mm.
Well, they're actually they're doing it.
In Sydney?
Yeah, the first centre has implemented this in the Canterbury-Bankstown area.
Yep.
And basically, I think, if you fail a drug test, you don't get the rock and roll.
It's going to be interesting to see what comes of this because it's going to open up a can of worms for all sorts of people saying, well, if they're getting tested, can you test radio broadcasters or judges or bank operators or whatever? I don't know what the answer to it is, to be quite honest, but I guess what you do want people who are on Centrelink benefits, all I want them to do is make sure they're doing everything they can to get a job.
Yeah.
If drugs are costing them, then, you know, not doing their interviews and not looking for jobs, well, that's an issue. I don't know. Where do you stand with that?
Well, two things. What you just said is correct. If it'll prevent them from getting out of bed and going to an interview, if they're high as a kite, I suppose. The other thing is, the few hundred bucks a week they get, if they're spending it on ice or something like that, that's not what the money's for.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting point as well. Is it money that they can use whatever they want? No, I'm just asking a question, but is it for them to do whatever they choose to do with, or is it for, you know, make sure you spend
living expenses? I would have thought the dole is to make sure you can live week to week whilst you are
trying. So they're allowed to go and buy booze?
That's a touchy question. I see where you're coming from with that, but you would say that shouldn't be their first priority.
Yeah,
priority should be make sure you can pay your rent.
What percentage of people on the dole wouldn't go and buy booze with it or cigarettes?
Yeah, no, I'll take your point.
They've got to make sure. I mean, the biggest thing for me is to make sure they're doing whatever they can do to get a job.
Yeah.
But anyway, they're trialing it, and I reckon they'd be mixed. Everyone will be split on whether that's a good thing or a fair thing or whatever. But it's happening, and we'll wait and see if it happens more and more. Another thing that's happening out there, and you probably always think this should have been happening for a while, but you go to, you know, country shows or even the Adelaide show or whatever, and you see those, you know, amusement rides and things like that that the kids always hammer you for a bit of fun. Mm. Some of them you see, you look at it and think, gee, they look a bit old. They've been to a few shows. I've been around Australia 25 times. Well, they're starting to crack down on a lot of the old amusement rides that are out and about there. I guess we've had, unfortunately, we've had some fatal incidents around Australia and around the world
lately. One at the Royal Adelaide Show.
So they are starting to crack down on and controlling the age and safety of the amusement machines that are out there. So just a little one to keep into consideration. We've got the Adelaide Show coming up soon. I'm sure there's a lot more focus on that. So It's a good thing for parents.
And look, Roo, if the lads are listening at Yatla this morning, 133353, just let what can we get you for breakfast? Do you want Macca's or what would you like? Because Roo, last night they got 20 pizzas delivered.
Yeah,
out of Yatla.
And, well, they had a little peaceful sit down and didn't go back into their cells.
So they rang for takeaway pizzas. Mm. And unfortunately,
the Star Force delivered them.
They had the pizzas had to be delivered. They did say to the boys, "You coming to pick them up?" And they said, "Well, we can't really. You'll have to deliver.
You have to deliver."
Yeah.
To H Division.
Yeah. How on earth do prisoners in Yatla order takeaway pizzas? This has got me baffled.
Well, no one knows whether they ordered them or whether the screws ordered them and tried to look after them.
G'day. 20 pizzas, please. Yeah, what's the name? Von Einem? yeah.
He's at Port Augusta, I think.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Okay, but, yeah, interesting stuff. It was a bit of a peaceful one. It wasn't a riot or anything, but I'm not sure. Someone passed away in another jail, I think. So I don't know if they were having a bit of a peaceful sit down for that or what happened. But they got 20 pizzas somehow.
Mm.
So good luck to them.
How would you be the fella at the pizza joint taking that call?
Paying for them.
Exactly.
Get stuffed.
They're not exactly flush in there.
You might be surprised what they get in there.
But wouldn't that have been a funny phone call to take at the pizza joint?
Yeah, Mac is paying for them. Ah, bullshit. Smithy's due.
Yeah.
Come on, John. Anyway.
Dave Benson, Caravan and Camper Trailers. Begin your voyage and live your dreams. I only have time for one breakfast show. Ruin Dits for Breakfast. The Prime Minister, Malcolm Big Mal Turnbull.
Oh, big thanks to Dave Benson Caravans as well. Brings us the number one man in the country, Big Mal.
Good morning to you. Good morning to you, Dits, and hello to you, Ruin. Hello to everybody in Adelaide listening to Triple M.
You might be buggering off in a caravan if you don't get these polls right, Big Mal. What's going
now, come on, Ruin. I thought I was going to enjoy some time with you guys this morning. It's a lovely Wednesday morning here in Canberra. The polls, listen, I won't react to polls. You know that. I'm not going to get involved in the hysteria inside or outside of the party. I've just gotten off the rower this morning. I'm a little bit sweaty. I'm here with Christopher Pine, actually. He's
right. Very cross.
I'll put him on. Oh, I'm so cross. It's Christopher Pine speaking. I'll tell you what, I just want everybody to get off Malcolm's back. I'm so cross. It made me really, really baity this morning. I think But what the Labour Party don't realise is Malcolm's the man for the job. Oh, everyone should get off his back. I wish he'd get on my back, just so I could support him, you know. Okay, Christopher, thank you.
Right,
you've made
he's
it very cross. He's absolutely frothing at the mouth.
Yeah, he loves the crows too, Christopher Pine, Big Mal.
He does.
Mm-hmm. Now, look, what are you...
Good on you, Christopher, okay.
The polls are going from bad to worse. What do you do to take your mind off politics, Big Mal?
Well, sometimes it's very difficult, but what I find very meditative is to cook for Luce and I at the end of the day. I get into the kitchen and get my Hug the Chef apron on, and I cook up a nice passata, a nice tomato sauce. I start with Pomodoro tomatoes. Some people use the blender or the Thermo mix. I like to break them down with a Chenin Blanc or a Cuvée or a Lamaisseur, which of course means soulmate in French. I don't know why the Australian people can't identify with me, but anyway, I stand there and there goes an ibis. I know my birds, and then I break it down, and it really does create a nice mood for love, and it helps me take my mind off, and Luce and I get on our baby Uggs and our trackies and watch a bit of Netflix and chill.
I can only imagine what happens next. Hey,
I'll tell you. No, I won't.
Hey, what are you going to do to make Australian people like you, Big Mal? There sort of seems to be a little bit of a distancing between you and the regular Aussie.
I know, and I'm just a guy struggling with my mortgage, my $50 million Italian Palazzo in Point Piper, just like everybody else. I mean, what can I do? Can I scull a beer like Bob Hawke, or should I start kissing babies and handing out ice creams?
Get a slave tattoo.
Mm.
What about a sex scandal? A slave tattoo?
Do a tape.
That seems like a good idea. Or I could wear a perker in Parliament. That seems to go well, didn't it?
Yeah,
everybody quite enjoyed that. I could make a decision.
Make a decision, yes. Yes.
Don't be silly.
I've just had a thought. Christopher, I could make a decision. That's what you could do, Malcolm. Okay, settle down.
You get him now, tied up there, have you?
I have got a song going through my head at the moment.
Right.
Oh, good.
This will get me a little bit more popular. I left my heart to the sappers round Kaysan. I don't know any more lyrics, but I told it's a very popular song.
No, it's a good start, though. Practice that one, because people do like it.
We'll have Barnsley on shortly anyway.
Oh, well, Cal Barnsley, then I'd like to get into the studio with him and record a single. Maybe I can do a bit of spoken word.
That would make you
traded my popular cigarettes with the black market man. I had the Vietnam cold turkey from the ocean to the silver city. Wonderful lyrics. Yeah. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. there you go.
Yeah, all right, big man.
Right, anything to say before you leave us?
Yes, of course. I'd just like to say the Triple M rocks Yatla Prison.
Yeah, get the 20 Supreme Pizzas.
Mm.
Absolutely.
Good on you, big
guys.
Man.
Everyone at Yatla, do your time, keep your nose clean, and good on you. Get reformed.
See you, big
Thanks,
man.
Big mouth.
Ruin Tits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M, Ruin Tits for Breakfast. Donald Trump, he just cannot, slip quietly into town, can he, these days? He's heading to Arizona for the first time as president, and we are expecting mass protests.
Yeah, could be plenty of things happening there. There's already tens of thousands of people lining the streets. So let's find out what's going to happen.
All right, Channel 7 News reporter Ashley Mullaney, US correspondent. Ashley, good morning. And tell us, what is the mood like? What is the mood like in Arizona with his impending visit?
Well, I think you've summed it up. There's really never a dull moment when Trump goes anywhere. But at the moment, it's sort of got a very much feels like a campaign mode, which is a little bit strange this far into his presidency. But hundreds of Trump supporters are already out lining the streets. It's about 40 degrees and they're all standing out in the sun. They've been here since 4 a.m. this morning. The rally doesn't start until 7 o'clock tonight. So these are the diehard supporters. So they're here waiting to go in, so there'll be thousands out on the streets too, protesting. And that protest is really about a number of things. There's a whole range of different groups that are going to be protesting. But it's really in reaction to those ugly scenes we saw in Charlottesville.
What did Trump say to that? How did he sort of back up the supremacists?
Well, he's copped a bit of widespread criticism for basically levelling blame on both sides for the violence, and people are saying that in turn, by him saying that he was sort of in some way sympathising with some of these white supremacists. So that hasn't gone down too well. And this is Donald Trump's first public appearance since he made those comments. He was due to go and see the border, the US-Mexico border, where he hopes to build this grand wall. But that trip's been cancelled this morning. So he'll be coming straight here to this venue tonight.
The mayor of Phoenix isn't actually putting out the welcome mat either. He's saying that people are hurting and that Trump doused racial tensions with gasoline by what he did last week. I mean, they are fighting words, aren't they?
Yeah, they're pretty strong comments. So, you know, he's getting a warm welcome from his supporters. Of course, that's why he does these rallies. He's very much, you know, that's where he probably feels most at home, is being amongst these, you know, adoring supporters. Mm. But not everyone here is supportive. The mayor, like you say, actually asked him to postpone this rally. He's really worried that the timing of this could just incite more tension, more hatred and division at a time that it's not needed. But these supporters are saying, look, it's time to get on with things. And they're really excited. This is the first time Trump has been to Arizona. He won this state in the election last year. And they're really looking forward to seeing him. And they're not in any way deterred by the protesters that are planning to come out here. I think the police will have quite a tough job.
Yeah, for sure. Ashley, what is happening in the background? You've got someone yelling there in the back. Are you safe there? What's going on?
Yeah, we're okay. There's a lot of very loud and vocal people out today. We've copped the fake news slogan over and over again this morning.
It's all your fault.
Maybe our Channel 7.
Come on, Ashley.
I think our Channel 7 logo is getting mistaken for CNN.
Hey, Ashley, how's the wall going? A lot of Australians are fascinated by Trump's plans to build a wall.
It is fascinating, isn't it? And immigration is going to be a big issue today, a very contentious issue at this rally. He'll be standing before these supporters, calling on Congress to push ahead with the agenda to get this wall happening. And it's something that his supporters are really passionate about. Mike Amor did a great special on Sunday night about the wall, you know, where we heard from both sides, and one of the guys that lives on that border, he's down here today supporting Trump as well, because it's, you know, his property's right there on the border where cartels are bringing through drugs and things like that. So it's an issue that's really important to people that live in this area. But I guess from Australia, it is hard to fathom the idea of building a wall.
How's Trumpy's eyes after he looked at the sun the other day? Is he okay?
Oh, I think he's been the target of hundreds of memes since that moment. Yeah, I know. There were people saying, yeah, that the media, it was the one instruction that came from the media, not to look at the sun, but maybe that was fake news too.
Hey, Ashley, thanks so much, and stay safe amongst the protests, and we might talk again soon. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Ashley Mullaney, Channel 7's US correspondent.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Ru, I'm just struggling to understand the law at the moment with what happened yesterday in our courts.
Yep.
And this is about the youths that were originally arrested for the death of Lucy Paveley on the weekend, the car crash that we've all read and heard so much about. Very sad story. So yesterday they're in court, they get released and only to be arrested again on the spot. Let's go to Duncan Bashir-Hannon, managing partner Patrick Boylan helps us out with these things from time to time. Patrick, good morning. Are you able to explain what happened yesterday?
I'll do my best. It looks like three out of the four of the people who were originally charged with manslaughter, the police have dropped the manslaughter charges against them and recharged them with other offences, criminal trespass, that sort of thing.
Right. So it might be a bit of a statement for the public, and I think a good one too, that, I mean, the public could have been up in arms if we thought three of these boys are just walking free. So quite rightly, let's, you know, arrest them for these other lesser charges and make sure. Now, do they remain in custody then for that?
My understanding is they have been rearrested and they remain in custody and they'll appear in court today. I thought it was a bit... not strong, but a bit unusual that all four of them should be charged with manslaughter because only one of them would have been driving the car. Now, I don't want to get into the facts of the matter but I can understand charging the driver with manslaughter, but three other people, passengers in the car, difficult to see how that's manslaughter.
Mm. I guess if they probably took the... I don't think you can take a conservative option here, but I guess the emotion and everything that happened, I guess they arrested them all and then they found out that maybe one was the ringleader or something like that. Is that what can happen in a case like this after they interview them and find a bit more out that, you know, the one fella takes more responsibility than the others and then they get done for lesser charges? Is that how it would unfold? Or
it could be, and it may well be that the police went to the DPP and said, can we make out a case of manslaughter against all four of these? And perhaps the advice was, no, you can't, maybe against the driver. And the public would be up in arms if they charged these people with the wrong offence, they got off and they walked free, that would cause an absolute outcry.
Yeah, it would. Now, Patrick, I know you can't speak on behalf of all criminal lawyers out there, but again, this one to me tugs at the sort of morals of society, I think. I often see stories like this and I think, how could a lawyer defend these people? Now, the old story is that everyone deserves a defence, I guess, but do lawyers ever face that moral issue where someone like this comes to you and you think, you are such a bad, ordinary individual, I just do not want to defend you?
Look, that would happen from time to time, but lawyers who do criminal law have to be used to acting for people who the rest of the public may not think too much of, but one of the strengths of our society and why we have a great and civilised society is that everybody is entitled to reasonable representation and the opportunity to defend themselves.
I know, it is a difficult one though at times when there's such a public outcry in cases like this, and there have been many famous cases around the world of people. I mean, think of, you know, if you had to defend Osama bin Laden or something like that. I mean, just the public backlash. Not that I'm comparing these cases, by the way. Please don't think that. But I'm trying to think of the worst, most heinous crimes in the world and how you defend them. But as you said, Patrick, I guess that's one of the positives of living here in Australia.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for joining us, Patrick.
My pleasure.
There you go. Patrick Boylan, managing partner at Duncan Bashir-Hannon. And, Roo, I guess that does make sense, that you can't really charge all of those boys with manslaughter.
We got no idea what the other three, they might have been pleading to get out of the car.
They might not have.
They might have been, well, the flip side is they might have been saying, they might have been urging
drive
them
quicker,
on.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you know?
No,
how do you know? We don't know, but we know four of them were involved, and now one of them is in more trouble than the other three.
I'm just reading between the lines here. I think the police have done a real smart thing, because imagine if those boys walked free, and taking into account what you just said, you're probably right. What if they were just sitting there thinking, God,
well, they were 13, 14, 15. Who knows what they were doing?
Can you imagine the public outcry, though, if they walked free yesterday?
Yeah, and look, they're obviously worried about what they look like in this situation as well, because of the outcry, like people like us yesterday. So everyone's trying to do their best in this situation.
Yep, they are. 104.7
Triple M. You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
Ah! Pressure point. Pressure point. Ruin Dids.
$1,000 pressure test. It is $1,000. Yes, your chance to win a grand right now. Who have you got on the blower, Roo?
I got John from Glengarry. Hey, Johnny boy.
Yeah, you can call me Glenn. I don't care.
From Glengarry.
Glenn from John Gary,
What are you up to today, Johnny boy?
Oh, just taking it easy, ready to go on holidays. So handy spending money.
How long you got off?
2 weeks.
Where are you going?
Bali.
Nice. Beautiful.
You ever been?
$1,000 will probably get me through on the Bintang quota, I reckon.
Yeah, that's right. You ever been there before?
Yeah, absolutely.
And who are you going with, John?
My lovely wife.
Oh, beautiful. Righto. Let's hope we can give you a grand to take away with you.
All right. Give us, you ready to go, Glenn,
yep,
John?
Ready to go.
All right.
Yep. Okay. No worries.
Good. All right. When you think about Donald Trump, give me 10 things that you think about. Go.
Bad hair, bad ties, bad suit, bad person, President of the United States, got more money than he can do with, hot wife, stupid kids. Owns Trump Towers, owns planes, plays golf while he's president, didn't like Barack Obama.
Where have you gone, John? What's happened?
Keep going.
How was that?
Yeah, keep going. No, that was a good topic, Roo. Yeah. Righto, let's go to the adjudicator.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Drum roll. He's
commentating. 10 There's your spending money, Johnny boy. There's your spending money, mate. Have a good trip to Bali.
All right, we'll do. Thanks, boys.
Good on you, John.
Good on you, mate. Well done.
Okay. Glenn, whatever your name is.
John Glenn.
Now, Roo, can I just point something out to you? The rules of this game, right?
What are they?
So, tell me how you're going to fight the legal battle. If John said something about Donald Trump, great bloke, love his policies. Is he right? Is he wrong?
Well, just the same way we fight everything here. Whatever we think
is right.
Is he
right or is he wrong?
No, he's right. Well, that's why we gave him $1,000. I just wanted him to win.
I just want to know what the rules are. That's
There's
all.
There's no rules. You know
obviously,
that.
Right.
You know that.
That's all right. Now, everyone listening, we play this little game sometimes where we surprise each other with the topic, don't we?
Don't really know what we're doing.
You just made that up out of thin air.
He took advantage of me. Didn't he, a little bit?
Yeah. All right, anyway. Now.
The following is an official announcement from the Australian government.
Over the past few years, thought crime has reached record levels. Subversion is rife. Our enemies are everywhere.
Trust no one.
Luckily, there is an answer.
Peter Dutton.
No, not Peter Dutton.
Thank God.
Introducing a new series on Podcast One that interrogates the real threats to Australia, like John Safran, Rob Sitch, and children's author Andy Griffiths.
Oh, God, I love those Treehouse books.
Who will survive? Who will fail? Introducing Extreme Vetting with The Chaser.
The Chaser.
The only show with the power of life and death over its guests.
Listen at podcast1.com.au or via the Podcast One app.
Triple M. Comway IT. Complete IT and cloud solutions business.
Handball off to Hartland and let's fly from 50 and kicks the goal.
Ruin Dits for breakfast. It's hammer time.
Boom. That's the hammer coming down.
Hammer time.
Please welcome Hamish Hartlett.
Hammer, good morning.
Good morning, fellas.
Now, tell us about the nightlife in Ballarat. What's that like?
Not much going on. Not much going on down there. It was just pretty fresh, too. It was down to...
Is it 8?
Oh, yeah. During the game, it was 8 degrees, but I reckon overnight it...
You would have had 3 jumpers on anyway. You would have been after the game, you would have got cold.
Actually, when the sun came out, it was actually really nice. And when we got running around, it was pretty good. But, yeah, a little bit fresh from time to time, but nice place down there. It was good.
It looked good. It looked like playing at one of the old suburban ovals. Yeah. People standing on the outer there. It was a good crowd, and it looked good atmosphere.
Yeah, it was, you know, you play some of those NAB Cup games out of those types of ovals, and it sort of had that little feel about it, but obviously there was a fair bit more on the line on the weekend, but it was great. Yeah, the oval was in amazing condition. Nice big oval, which I think suited us as well. So happy. Well, I won't say we're happy to put our hands up for that one again, but you know we'll go down there.
And did you stay in Ballarat?
Yeah, we did.
Yep.
Yeah, we stayed in Ballarat. So we caught the plane to Melbourne, drove down to Ballarat, had a quick look at the oval, stayed there overnight, played, and then drove back to the airport and flew. Saturday night.
Played on the roof at Etihad Stadium. Who would have thought you would have been playing on Mars as well?
China, Mars, we've been everywhere this
year. Yeah, you have. You've had a big year. Yeah. Hey, big Charlie Dixon. That's what they're after. Everyone's after at Port Adelaide. If you can kick 3 or 4, take the grabs, do the tackles, pressure acts and all that, that is as complete a performance as you get from a big man up forward.
Yeah, he was outstanding on the weekend again. He continues his great season for us. He's been super competitive all year, which we know we're always going to get from him. And when he is marking the ball and kicking goals for us, it just adds another dynamic up there for us. We know he's going to bring every contest in terms of competitiveness, but his ability to kick some pretty important goals for us on the weekend was huge. And you know, he's had a fantastic season.
Well,
this year,
he'd be going in the best and fairest.
Yeah, he'd be up there. Yeah, he'd be right up there.
I know, because it's hard for big key forwards, but shouldn't be, mind you. I think they never get enough credit for kicking goals and doing their job, forwards or backs, in some of the team's best and fairest results. But he's had a pretty consistent year. He had a lot of patches in that middle where he was only kicking 1 goal a week, but continued to do his pressure and stuff. So. Yeah. It'd be a great result for him to be a top 3 at least, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be huge and massive reward for effort. He you know, the way he plays on the weekend is the way he trains during the week, Monday to Friday as well. So
he's flat out, is he?
Yeah, he's flat out,
the boots
absolutely.
Are on, he goes.
And there might have been a time in the past where he wasn't so much like that, but certainly since he's come to the footy club, he's been like that. And he'd be right up there with, I'd think, probably Paddy, Ebo, Ollie, and maybe Tommy Jonas for our best and fairest.
What I like about him, he looks like he's one of those blokes that hates to lose. You know, even in games where Port are out of the game, he's still crashing in and he looks so desperate. And as I said, he reminds me of someone that just, he cannot stand losing, which is a great trait to have.
It's probably the most important trait you got to have when you're playing at the highest level, and Charlie's certainly got that in spades. You can tell, you know, when he's got his head on a bit and he gives away a free kick, how angry and frustrated he gets at the umpires and that type of stuff.
Good
so, he's a great competitor and we love that about him.
Did you see enough out of young Marshall, something to like there?
Yeah, he did some really good stuff. Particularly his pressure in the forward line. I think he laid 5 tackles, which for a big man is really
effort.
Important. You know, whenever he got the ball, he used it really well. I think he had about 10 disposals, so... he got a little bit of the ball and used it really well. So
good sign for a big key fellow, a first round draft pick, to be able to do that in his first year. So you've really recruited well for a long time.
And
now,
Dougal Howard settling in defence, only 2 games in a row, but he's looked pretty good.
Yeah, look, he played on Tory Dixon for a lot of the time on the weekend, so there's a fair mismatch in terms of height there. But his closing speed and his arm span. Certainly works in his favour.
Comparing him to a wedge-tail eagle or something.
He looks a bit like that sometimes when he gets the skates on a bit. But, he's got that marking ability as well, which is always pretty handy in the back line too.
All right, more with Hammer in just a moment. Rue, I can only presume that the coffees are
boys,
coming.
Boys, they're on their way.
Song or something. Oh, are they?
They're on their way.
Gee,
Rue hammered Hammer last week.
I want to find out what's going on.
Every other visitor brings, Tex brings coffees in, Jackson brings coffees
just
in.
Polite.
So they are on their way, are they?
They're coming, boys.
Righto. Yeah, all right, more with Hamish Hartlett and some coffees.
I want to find out what's happening with Jackson Trengove next.
Oh, yeah.
Triple M. Comwire IT. Complete IT and cloud solutions business.
Handball off to Hartlett and let's fly from 50 and kicks the goal.
Ruined dits for breakfast. It's Hammer Time.
boom. That's the hammer coming down.
Hammer time.
Please welcome Hamish Hartlett.
Oh, now we'll get to the hard footy questions in just a moment, but Rui's a restaurateur now. He's a restaurant owner. What's it called again, Hammer?
Poke Me.
Poke Me.
Yeah.
Righto. And what does if that I went mean? In there today, yeah, what does that mean?
It means.
You don't even know!
It means bloody tasty food. That's what it means.
So if I went in there today, what would I order? What's on special?
So you've got a choice of four different bases that you can have in your bowl. So it's a bowl setup. You can have either rice, you've got soba noodles, there's a couple of different types of rices, or you can have, probably for you, Dits, I'd go for the healthy greens base.
Right.
So that's made up primarily of broccoli and kale and those types of things.
Yeah, sounds
kale.
Nice.
He loves kale.
Johnny Kale.
Big on Johnny Kale.
And then on top of that, we've got about 8 or 9 different vegetables and salad ingredients that you can build your bowl.
Can you get a schnitzel there?
You can't quite get a schnitty.
Can you?
And you finish off with...
Put it on the menu. See how you go.
You finish off with your protein, which is either tuna, salmon, chicken, or tofu.
Right. Mm.
And then there's about half a dozen different sauces that you can have.
What do you wash it down with? This is really thinking about
Blanc or not?
Water.
License?
Hang on. So I'm going
No license.
So I'm going in for kale, tofu, and water.
Breakfast. Maybe you can go there for breakfast.
I think Alice is going to get some this afternoon.
Is she? Yeah, she can report back. No, good luck with it.
She's good if she gets a free lunch.
You've been open a couple of weeks, haven't you?
Yeah, just under 2 weeks. But
and Gawler Place reports, in the city.
Yeah, it's been outstanding. 92 Gawler Place in the city. So if you're floating around, pop in. Tommy Jonas and I are involved, and we head in there a fair bit of our spare time.
Take your mouth guard then. Tommy Jonas is involved.
Yeah, I'll knock you out if you don't pay.
Play nice.
Hey, yes. I want to ask you about something that you got asked about during the week. Round 23 is always an interesting round. They've now got a bye so people don't rest and do all that, which is probably worked because a couple of teams might have rested this week if there wasn't a bye the week after.
Yep.
But depending on the results of games, it influences other games and mindsets of players. So it's a bit of a funny round. And some people suggest we should play 9 games simultaneously across Australia on the weekend, like they do in soccer and I think some other sports in the last round of the year. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I like the concept on the surface, I suppose. There's obviously, reasons as to why it doesn't happen. Probably TV rights and finding venues and all that type of stuff are probably the main two. But, I guess...
It'd be exciting, wouldn't it?
It'd be incredibly exciting and... Running around out there, not knowing how any of the other games are going, and not knowing sort of where you're going to end up on the ladder at the end of it, would be really exciting, and it'd force everyone to
go flat
play
out
as well as they possibly can. Yeah, instead of maybe not doing so if they knew where they were going to end up at the end of the season.
I think unfortunately because of the TV situation, it can't happen, can it?
No, they can't.
Unfortunately,
probably what not about, enough umpires or commentators or
logistical reasons why it couldn't take place.
Hammer, what about here's
probably
an idea?
Not I'd watch the Port game because it'd be other more exciting games.
They'd be watching the Crows
just
game.
Just talk to me, Hammer.
That's why.
Put up with that garbage in the corner there. Now, here's watching the game on the weekend. Right at Ballarat, made me think a game at Alberton Oval.
Oh.
Why not?
The Magpies, buddy, play there already.
I'll play the curtain raiser.
Love it, Dits.
What, so you can get in your little hole that you used to get in there as a kid for nothing?
Yeah, the hole in the fence is still there. I've checked where I used to go.
So you can knock off a few more footies.
Yeah, we'll get it done.
What do you want to play there for? What have you got Adelaide Oval for?
Yeah, but just as a one-off now and then. Once a year or once every 2 years.
You've got 60,000 members.
We need another home ground. We've got Shanghai. We've got Ballarat now we're good in.
You love getting out to the people, don't you? What would you like? Would you like to play it?
That'd be unreal, mate. Imagine the faithful there. They'd be going absolutely ballistic. It'd be unbelievable. But
it'd be dangerous. Honestly,
the deck there at the moment is like an ice skating rink. There's no grip on it.
What's happened to it?
There's just mud everywhere. It's getting chopped up. We're playing games here every week. We're training there twice a week.
They're not letting us on Adelaide
Oval train.
Hey?
They haven't seen mud before the modern day players.
No, they haven't.
not good, boys.
Hey, well, you don't want to get dirty.
So you're not getting a game at Albert.
Apparently not.
Not at this time.
Well, that was
year.
As good as your. Hang on. It was as smart as your idea of playing 9 games at the same time.
It wasn't my idea. Hamish got asked about it during the week, and the headline was Hamish endorses it.
Oh.
I thought I'd ask him about it.
Okay. But, now, Jackson Trengove.
Yep.
Hard for you to comment, but. No, he's not gone at all. I just want to make a statement.
He's gone.
We definitely need him in the side in the weeks to come. That's just my little view. I think
so what were you doing
the
last
team
week,
looked very
playing.
Young on the weekend. I thought it was very, very young.
Yeah, we were. No doubt we had a debutant, a second gamer, and some guys that have played, you know, only a handful of games. So it's a testament to those guys and the way we played as a team to be able to get the result that we did. Certainly Jacko adds an element of aggression and competitiveness that you probably need in finals footy. So he's done everything he possibly can in the SANFL. He's had a couple of games where he's kicked goals. He's taken lots of marks. His tackle pressure's been right up as well, which I think would have been a main focus for him going back and playing in the SANFL. So we'll have to wait and see what happens this week. But, he'll certainly add another dynamic for us up there.
Has Tommy Jones got white line fever or what's going on? Because he knows he couldn't afford to get suspended.
What did you
love Tommy.
Yeah, what did you think of what he did?
Look, these days you're not allowed to bump and hit someone in the head. It wasn't hard. I didn't think it was hard. It wasn't
much to it. Straight at him.
I'm saying...
I know, he's only protecting himself, Dits, wasn't he?
He was.
There'd be a lot of blokes out there that would cop a whack like that and not hit the deck. They'd be a bit rattled probably by it. And
did he stay down for long?
No, he stayed down for, I don't know, 15, 20 seconds. He got back up and started running towards the forward line and then
wasn't
Ollie,
much in it.
And then Ollie started bloody niggling him too to make sure. You know, like I said yesterday in the press conference, when you're playing on guys like Dowhouse and Eddie Betts
they're
and
small, aren't they?
McDonald, Tip and Woody.
And it's easy to get them in the head.
It's easier to get him in the head, but you don't want to let him run around and have to caravan him for the whole game. You know, it's an absolute nightmare trying to play like that. So we do.
It's hard to run with a corky. That's what they used to say in the old days with the little fellas.
Exactly. You've got guys that are a bit bigger, like, you know, Tommy Jonas and these types of boys, and it's. You got to do whatever you can to try and block their run and inhibit them any way possible. So he's a bit stiff, but we've got to cop it on the chin, unfortunately.
Yeah. All right, good on you, Hammer. Stay out of trouble
Thanks
this week.
For the coffee.
All right, boys. Just beat to Gold Coast, do the right thing, and then
school boys. You should
right
play this game at Alvin.
Yeah.
This is with that sort of team.
I'd love it.
Yeah.
All right, Hammer joins us thanks to Comwire IT, complete IT support and cloud solutions business.
Triple M.
What are you doing for lunch today?
Fair. Actually, I am going out to lunch. No, it's for work, though.
Yeah, of course it is.
I'll report back to you tomorrow.
Okay.
If I come in.
Real sad news the other day that we didn't get nominated for anything for the Australian Commercial Radio Awards, ACRA. I was surprised, actually.
These are the Logies of radio.
Some of your sex education segments have been really enlightening. For
Thank
the public.
You. Thank you.
And, you know, fantastic how much research you chose to do without getting told to do any research.
So we were quite surprised that we didn't even get nominated.
Yeah, and,
know,
and
for
then
the gold that we churn out.
And our award-winning producer, Alice, put together a little montage of some of the reasons why perhaps you weren't nominated.
Chris Dittmar, esteemed radio journalist.
All dust.
Always early with the news.
Drew, it would be bedlam down at North Terrace this morning. There will be people everywhere, lights flashing, sirens
hang
going
on,
off.
Hang
First
on.
Morning of the new RAH. I'll bet there are people queuing up to get treated.
Maybe a little bit too early?
Good morning, boys. Believe it or not much. Absolutely nada. Like, who has a doctor's appointment at 6:40 a.m?
Everyone is his buddy.
Andrew Stocktail joins us. Andrew, good morning.
Hi, Dits.
Can I call you Stocky?
Yeah,
what do they call you, Andrew?
That was my old nickname.
Andrew Stocktail, my buddy, my pal.
He's very highly researched.
What is happening down at the Adelaide Oval tonight?
Well, it's actually tomorrow. I'm not sure if they're doing it for the game tonight. Definitely tomorrow night. The Oval's going to be lit up orange.
Dits, you should have quit while you're ahead.
So it's very, very rare.
No, that's not really rare. That's quite... Okay. Common. It's probably second only to Down syndrome.
Sam Johnson. What other work have you done? What were you doing prior to Molly?
Oh, just being a general reprobate, really. I don't really act much.
And so did someone pluck you from obscurity because of your likeness to Molly? Is that how it happened?
Yeah, pretty much. I was basically on a train and someone tapped me on the shoulder.
Dits, Sam Johnson, you know, Gold Logie winner, acted in Secret Life of Us.
Samuel Johnson!
Despite all that, at least his math is in order.
Shut up! The foot is on the radio!
Open goal! Adelaide are in front!
Nearly.
They trail by 2 points.
8-6 is 2, Dits, but we know what you mean.
I'm no good at math.
Chris Dittmer, Adelaide Radio Royalty. Yeah.
It's absolute bullshit.
Unlucky, Dits. Really, really unlucky.
Now, you've had a good laugh, have you?
Well, it was pretty funny.
All right. Now, we might have just put together a few of your highlights.
This would have taken a lot of time.
This is the real reason this show hasn't been nominated for an ACRA. All right. We'll get to this in just a moment. Roo's highlights coming up.
Come off it.
Roo and Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
The non-award winning show.
Yes,
because
exactly
we haven't been nominated.
Right.
We haven't been nominated for anything.
Nah.
And probably for good reason too. Now, you just heard my highlights.
Yes.
Let's see how Roo has dragged this program
down.
As a matter of fact, there is.
Surprising.
Mark Rusciuto, respected son of Adelaide.
Boulder.
And the footy expert.
And there's a lot of G's over the back in that graphic.
G for
goal.
G for goal, yeah, over the back.
What do we pay you for special comments at Triple M?
Too much.
Whatever it is.
On top of his calendar.
It's Star Wars Day. Because it's May the 4th, they say,
May the 4th be with you.
So it's Star Wars Day. There you go.
Right.
All right.
So is that the 4th of every month?
No, May. Gee. May.
Listen,
the 4th.
It's a 4-day week.
At least he learns from his mistakes.
I was born on Friday the 13th, and my grandpa in the afternoon cut his little finger off.
Good luck today. Happy birthday. Dits is really into birthdays.
Roo, because today's Friday the 13th, it doesn't mean it's his birthday. Please.
Oh, no.
Honestly, between you and Alice, what am I working with here?
Oh, no.
Hey, bloody Alice. Hell.
He has a firm understanding of the English language.
You're talking about quinoa.
Yeah, quinoa. Yeah.
Is that the same as quinoa?
Well, how do you... If you look at that, how do you get quinoa out of QU? How do you get that if you've never heard of the word?
Quinoa.
Yeah, but why is it quinoa?
I didn't write it.
Well,
I don't know.
Bloody spell it with a K.
He's got a real knack at making our big guests feel welcome.
Sporting superstars in the studio with us here right now.
Yes, we have, and we're talking about Andy Mundine. Good morning, Andy.
Anthony Mundine.
Oh, Anthony, sorry.
When it comes to explaining our competitions, he'll never mince his words.
Money, money, money. Music.
Good little promo, this one. I like
it. Very simple competition to play. How does it work?
Well, you've got to predict the next line of the song, or we read it out, I should say, and then we give you how many seconds? Ten seconds. Yes, okay, so you need to be right on it. And if you get it right the first time, we give you $100. You can choose to take it and run, or you can go double or nothing. Not double or nothing, you actually five times or nothing, because you go to $500 after that. But if you lose, you get nothing. You get a give you a little consolation price.
Yeah.
And then if you want to go again, we'll triple it to $1,500. But if you miss that one, you get nothing.
Empty-handed.
Above all else, he's a respected member of society.
Now, when you are pushing yourself hard on the treadmill, you don't want to be uncomfortable.
Yep.
I pushed it out, the fart, and I pushed a little bit more out.
And it followed through.
Yeah.
So basically, you shat yourself.
Blokes poo their pants every now and then.
Mark Rusciuto, not nominated for the 2017 Commercial Radio Awards.
Bullshit. Unlucky.
Unfair.
Bloody unlucky.
How did we not get nominated?
Oh, that's just unfair. I can't even listen to that stuff.
I need to hear that again.
G for goal. I've got a funny feeling that'll be on the front bar tomorrow night when I'm with Sam Pang.
Well, we'll try for next year. See if we get nominated. Let's just put in that, all right? We'll just...
Yeah, we got our job still. Bloody hell.
We get paid for this.
Oh, no. Can we just do some sport next, which we know about, please?
Ruin Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
7:26. Oh, Roo, our next guest, we've woken him up. He was sleeping out in the paddock under a tree with his gun, just keeping one eye open.
There's been 450 sheep knocked off in the mid-north in the last 3 weeks, Dick. So,
don't take the mickey out of this. This
no,
is true.
We'll
this is serious.
Not, but, 450 sheep, millions of dollars worth of stock and wool and everything that are getting knocked off just because, you know, people are finding it tough to survive at the moment. And they think, well, if I go and knock off a sheep from that bloke's flock of 1,000 sheep, he won't even know. But they know.
Do they?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's find out more. Our farmer, Tim Vince. Tim, good morning.
How are you, boys?
Now, have you suffered any losses?
Well, not for a while, but a couple of years ago we lost 40.
40?
40.
Senior Sergeant Vince got straight on the job and went around to neighbours and looked everywhere. They just disappear. It's amazing how they get away with it. Really.
Now, I'm not being silly, Tim, but if I looked, I mean, I'm not a farmer like you, but if I was driving along and I looked over a fence and, oh, there's some sheep there, how would I know they're mine or not? They all look the same, don't they?
Well, no, we've got it. Yeah, they do look a bit the same to you, City Slickers, but we've got brands. There's good looking ones. There's Ruffy. But a bit like all things.
Don't tell me you can look over a fence and go, hey, they're my shirts.
Well, you do get used to your own shirt.
Oh, he gets it done very well.
Yeah, some of them have got names.
Sally.
No, we've got a brand on them, which is registered. And we've also got a PIC number, which is a property identification code.
Right.
Yeah, the number is in the sheep ear tag.
Yeah.
And the trouble is the thieves, they'd be cutting them out and putting their own in. So therefore, if they're selling them, they have to have a PIC number.
Yeah.
So that should make it a bit easier for the police.
But if they're not selling them through an abattoir or something like that, they're just slaughtering them and selling meat to their mates, just untraceable.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I was hoping you wouldn't bring that up. Oh. Both had sheep from me over the years.
Yeah. So you've been knocking off neighbour's sheep. We're receiving stolen goods.
I don't know what the penalty is for stolen goods, but I was hoping you'd keep that quiet.
Right, let's move on.
To be serious, we've got cameras set up now on our feedlot, and that's the best way, because then you pick up the rego number or the car, or hopefully you don't pick up the face of one of your mates.
Yeah. So, Tim, to lose 40 in one bit, someone's backed a truck in, haven't they, and loaded them up?
Yeah, it's got to be a truck, but then I'd suggest it'd be more likely a trailer and two or three loads over two or three nights or whatever. It wouldn't be that hard to pinch them. That's the thing. We've had the stock squad started a couple of years ago, but I think they're having a real rip now. They've got one in each area. So
what do you got? You got people watching stocks?
No, the stock squad is a policeman just for stock theft.
And,
because he came here. I actually knew him. Funny about that.
He probably had to visit your place a few times.
Yeah, just to get an idea of how it all works, and that's what they're trying to do, is get a feel for it. Mm. And also they want some names of some chonky blokes. And, it's fairly well known. Dick does come over here a bit.
He's usually asleep. Hey, what's an average sheep worth these days, just for the punters out there?
Yeah, well, lambs, a fat lamb, and I'd suggest if you're going to pinch one, that's what you'd target. Mm. They're about $150 or $60.
Mm. Yep.
So you don't need many for a week's wages.
What about an old ewe? How much?
Even old ewes are $120
or $130. What's a goat worth?
So, similar.
Yeah.
And Tim, isn't wool very high at the moment as well?
Wool's excellent. Yeah, that's $2,000 a bale. So,
sounds like
I'm going to be buying some beer.
Yeah, correct.
Exactly.
That's right. What I was alluding to.
And you've had a lot of rain lately as well.
Well, too wet now.
You might have to. At least you got money to pay for Bernie's tribunal offences.
Yeah. Well, you'd just play it down a bit instead of up, would be right. Now, the other thing too, Dick, that you'd be a bit nervous, because the pundits have worked out that Melbourne are coming to Adelaide Oval to play Port, probably. And I'm not going to say too much, but Melbourne do love the Adelaide Oval.
Yeah, right.
So do the supporters.
Listen, we got you on to talk about sheep. Listen, and Drew, can I just say before he goes, we've created a monster here. Now, last time I ran into Tim, he was telling me that he's getting recognised now.
Oh, what do you mean?
He walked into a pub. You know, he walked into a pub and said, "Oh, my name's Tim," and they went, "Oh, Tim off Triple M, Tim the farmer."
Where's this? What? In the York Peninsula, or everywhere.
Murray Bridge.
Far and wide. But I heard you got spotted in Bali and Darwin and Melbourne.
Yeah. Well, that's tough for farmers. You might have to up your rate a bit. You know, not only are they knocking our sheep off, we've just come out of a drought. Now it's too wet. I don't know what we're going to do.
All right.
It's dooming. All right. Thanks for joining us, Tim.
No worries.
Keep an eye on those sheep.
I'll bring those chops down.
Yeah, go and give Serena a cuddle.
Righto. Right.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Roo, isn't it great when you see someone genuinely excited, like a little kid?
Mm.
Now, Big Iron Haydos, who we love here at Triple M, and he's deservedly won a prize, and he's going to London. He's in. Haydos, good morning.
Good morning, gents.
Mate, you are the best on Australian radio, and I mean that sincerely. You're great at what you do. And you won. And tell us about the prize you won.
Well, you know how we've got the 40 minutes non-stop every hour?
Yeah.
The big boss. So our boss, Matty O'Reilly, his boss, threw down the gauntlet and said, look, whoever can be the most creative and come up with the best ways to do it that's just not 40 minutes non-stop. In our network, right, will get themselves a trip to fly to the Reading Festival in the UK, which is this weekend.
Right.
Sit down face to face with Liam Gallagher from Oasis, right, Stereophonics, Muse, Royal Bloods, catch the festival, fly you there, transfers, fly you home.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Well done, Haydos.
thanks
very much. This is huge. But we have had a bit of a laugh at your expense because you've never been overseas before.
I have not.
And we think, you know, your nervousness has gone to new levels.
You know how some people get away with winging it? I'm not one of those people. So I like to have everything down pat before I leave.
So the first problem was you didn't have a passport. How'd you go with that?
Oh, God. Okay, so I'm like, yes, got it. And then I'm like, oh, hang on, my passport's expired. So I ended up having to rush documents and get photos and then get them endorsed and then do all this other stuff, rush it down three streets down onto Curry Street, put it in, and turn it around in 3 days, which cost a lot of money.
Now, am I right in saying it was about $600?
A bit more than $600, yeah.
Wow.
That I didn't really have, but I mean, I got there and... Thankfully, got it across
now,
the line.
Now, the other thing, Iron Haydos, I've just noticed near your desk this morning, your suitcase is here.
Yes, packed. It is.
Now, your flight's at 6 o'clock tonight.
It is.
You think you're going to miss it, do you?
Look, I'm pretty disorganised, and I'm a creature of habit. Anything out of routine will absolutely destroy me, so...
How does she get off here at 1 o'clock?
Yeah, I know, but what... Sorry. Jeez. Oh no! But what I got to do is I got to stick around, do a little bit, help the team, and then go.
Don't worry about the team. Worry about yourself.
Just get to the airport.
Do you have to go via Melbourne?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I got to fly from here to Melbourne.
This is no joke. The flights aren't landing in Melbourne at the moment because there's fog. True.
Well,
hopefully,
I've turned into KG.
The fog might not lift.
I'll make some calls.
All right.
Yeah. Alice the Wag. We'll bring Alice in here.
Hello.
What happened earlier
so
in the week?
So I have to sit opposite Haydo and all the Triple M boys are around us, and Haydo has been next level annoying about this bloody trip.
No.
First off was the passport. Oh my God, I've had to pay so much money. I've had to fill in all these forms. I've never seen anyone so stressed to the point where we were all at our complete wit's end.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he even asked to finish early to make the 6 o'clock flight when he finishes at 1 o'clock. Like, that's how stressed he is.
Come on, Haydo.
So we thought... He's going to Europe with Dangerous Dave, the jock in Melbourne.
Yeah. Right.
So we gave Dangerous Dave a bit of a call and I said, can we, you know, stitch him up a bit here? Of course, radio, we always do a prank. So Dangerous called him and said, you know, listen out for Haydo getting extremely stressed because Dave makes up the fact he needs a visa and it's more money.
Well, let's have a listen, shall
we?
And here we go.
It's great.
Hello.
Haydo.
Yeah.
It's your old mate Dangerous Dave here.
Hey, what's going on, mate?
Mate, you are very hard to track down. I've been trying to track you down, seeing how pumped you are for the trip, mate.
Oh, mate, I'm stoked. I can say without any problems at all that I'm so you're there.
Nah, it's going to be huge.
Yeah,
it's going to be huge. It's going to be a big, big few days, that's for sure.
Yeah, mate, looking forward to it.
Yeah. Are you packed?
Yeah, packed. Had my money changed over to pound. I don't know. Have you got an itinerary yet?
Yeah, I got mine on Friday.
No, I don't have mine yet. All I got was like just a little rundown of flights, but I don't have a boarding pass or anything.
Oh, okay. No, I got mine from the record company Warner's on Friday, so I got the accommodation and the flights.
Oh,
and
I don't have any of that. So
what times we're doing the chats with the various people and transfers and stuff. So that's a bit unusual.
Yeah. Oh, that's all right.
You need to sort that shit, mate.
Yeah, well, I just thought, we're sort of getting close, you know. It'd be good to... Because I'm one of those cats that likes to have it nailed down.
You want to be organised, Haydo.
Yeah, exactly.
What about this $700 working visa? Did you get that note?
No.
You've got to pay like a upfront $700 visa for customs.
I've just paid like nearly that just to get my passport turned around.
Jeez. Shouldn't be expected to pay that out. I never heard of it before, to be honest. I thought you could just get straight into the UK.
And I was online looking at something to do with that, like, you know, one of those travel tip sites. I don't know what it was. It's in the UK. And it said, you know, oh, no, well, you don't need it if you're not earning a certain amount.
I think this is a working visa. So I think if you go there as part of employment. Anyway, I'm sure it'll be all sorted out, mate. I don't think you need to worry about that.
But,
don't sweat it, mate. You'll be fine. We'll have a great time.
Yeah.
Now, you know who we're interviewing?
Yeah, interviewing Royal Blood, Muse, Stereophonics and Gallagher. Well, I don't know who's interviewing who, but yeah.
And you've got Eminem as well.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
But how? Eminem.
Yeah.
How?
Yeah, it's going to be huge. Hey, one more thing.
Shane, they got you!
Now.
That is one of the grippers. Mate, I've been stressed. Oh, mate.
I'm going to be honest with you, mate. I have no itinerary yet, so I've got as much idea as what you have. Haven't heard a thing, but I do know we're flying out Wednesday night, so that's all cool.
Mate, well, I'm about to have a coronary.
There is no $700 working visa.
Dad. Oh, mate. You're lucky I love you, my son. Don't you worry about that.
There you go. Yeah, well done, mate.
Can I say, I knew it was a prank.
Oh. Yeah. Hey, everything is going to go to plan. You're going to have a great trip, mate.
Thank you very much, boys. I'll be checking in, hopefully.
And no M&M?
No M&M. I'm afraid.
Yeah, good. Have an awesome trip, buddy.
Luck. Thanks, yep. Boys.
And
thank
have
you.
A great time.
Thanks,
yeah. There you go. Yeah. The one and only Ionos.
Get Ruin Dits for Breakfast, weekdays from 6, or subscribe to Ruin Dits for Breakfast Catch-Up at triplem.com.au.